This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about the Christian way of life to living as did our Lord Jesus Christ. As we seek to do so, we certainly need two basic things, prayer and scripture. And today we have guest Ann Graham Lotz. You know her well, and I hope you know some things she's engaged in. She has a book that's just come out on prayer. We're going to talk about that some, but also she's got an initiative to get us to focus on the Word. Ann, thank you for coming on to help us get our focus back on two basic, fundamental, essential parts of our walk with Christ.
You are so welcome, Bill. It's my privilege to talk with you. Thanks.
Yeah, so I know you've been promoting your book now for a while, but some people may not have read it or even know about it. Let's start just talking about prayer a little bit. Tell us about the book that's come out.
My new book is entitled The Daniel Prayer, and the subtitle is Prayer That Moves Heaven and Changes Nations. It's based on Daniel chapter 9 in the Old Testament, and Daniel, I know, Bill, as you know, was living in Jerusalem. He was a young person when Nebuchadnezzar invaded and took him off as a captive. And he lived as Nebuchadnezzar's slave, and actually a slave under four Babylonian and Persian emperors. They tried to brainwash him, you know, mold him in their way to be a servant to all of their needs. And Daniel just purposed in his heart when he was a young man he would not defile himself. He set his heart to serve the Lord and to bring God glory. And so under four emperors, he did that. He rose up to the position of what would be the equivalent of prime minister under Nebuchadnezzar and then under Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. And the reason, of course, was because God showed him favor in the eyes of the people that were over him. But in the end, each one of those emperors gave glory to the God of Daniel because of what they saw in his life, his humility, his integrity, his work ethic, his wisdom. He was an amazing man, but he had been in captivity 67 years when he was reading in Jeremiah's scriptures that God said, after 70 years, I'll bring you back from captivity if you seek me with all of your heart. And so Daniel, he'd been in captivity 67 years, and so he's calculating, you know, three more years. And so he just turned to the Lord, his God, and he prayed a prayer that was so dramatically answered that while he was still praying, while he was still confessing his sin, God sent a messenger to tell Daniel that you are highly esteemed, and even while you are praying, insight and understanding is given to you. Your prayer is answered. And then 3 years later, Cyrus, king of Persia, out of the clear blue, issued an edict that all the captives could go home. It was a direct answer to Daniel's prayer. So I've taken his prayer and his situation, just overlaid it on America, seeing us as a nation also that's provoking the judgment of God, just as Judah provoked the judgment of God in Daniel's day. And I believe it's a time to pray. And we can take the pattern of Daniel's prayer, and, you know, you don't have to pray the words, of course, but to pray that pattern. So in the book, I've just fleshed it out, give lots of illustrations, and it's easy to read. I had a friend who read it and said, Ann, I can do this. You know, it's very easy to read. And in the back, I've even written prayers based on the pattern so people can get an idea of how you can use the pattern in your own prayers. Then I've left blank pages. They can write out their own prayers. You know, writing out my prayers helps me keep my concentration in prayer. So it's a book that I pray God will use to get God's people on their knees in prayer, because I believe we're living at a very dangerous time, a very strategic time, maybe even a very late hour, just right before the Lord Jesus comes back. And it's a time of chaos and confusion and trouble on every side, and God's people need to pray.
That's such a good word of encouragement through the life of Daniel. That prayer that he offered, the center of your book, what impresses me most about it is how humble he was and how he was willing to step into the gap and to say, we, Lord, we have this problem, instead of pointing to the backslidden people of God and say they have a problem. He identified with them, though he was such a righteous man.
Yes, that's right. He used plural pronouns all the way through it. Mm. There was no finger pointing, you know, no blaming somebody else. He just was interceding for his people.
And to think how this young boy grew up and, as you said, went through watched four kings rise up on a throne and then come down. Next one, major kingdoms, movements of the world. And it shows, doesn't it, how God reigns. There's a king above all in whom we can trust no matter what we go through in this country.
And I think it's a good word, Bill, to evangelicals today, because we seem to be so invested in the political process and so angry if the person of our first choice is not the one who, you know, becomes a nominee for our party. And I cannot imagine Daniel doing that. Daniel just lived his life for the glory of God, regardless of who was in that highest office. And in the end, each man that held the highest office, including Belshazzar, who died the night that Daniel just gave him God's word to his face, you know, but every single one had to acknowledge that the God of Daniel is the God of heaven, and they worshiped him, you know. And so so it's just a good heads up, I think, to evangelicals that our kingdom is not of this world, and whoever is in that Oval Office, whoever is in the positions of power, whether it's local or statewide or national, we need to pray for those people that somehow they'll have a fresh vision of God, they'll have a fear of God, they'll have a respect and reverence for God, they'll have counselors who will lead them in the right way. And God can, if God can use a Nebuchadnezzar, if he could use Darius and Cyrus, then there's no reason that anybody running today that he can't use.
That's such an encouragement to us to trust God. No matter what
comes up,
no matter what happens. And as you mentioned, there was this prophecy. Jeremiah, for example, talked about the 70 years. And Daniel was saying, hey, these years are about to come to an end, Lord. Where are you? What's going on? And God was sure to his timetable. So, Anne, you have a sense that God has a timetable today as well. We don't understand it exactly. What you're saying is he's still in control.
That's right. And so that brings us to God's word, you know, in this new initiative, God speaking. Are you listening? Because you won't know what God has to say if you don't read your Bible and listen to what he has to say. Daniel would not have known that in 3 years his people could be set free if he had not been reading, in essence, his Bible. He was reading the scriptures according to Jeremiah. And so he was reading God's word when he saw that promise, and then he laid claim to it. It's what Eugene Peterson refers to as reverse thunder, you know, when we take God's promise and we pray it back to him. And so Daniel was praying God's promise back to him, but you can't do that if you don't know what the promise is, and you're not going to know the promise until you read the word. So I just am very eager to offer God speaking, this new initiative, to get as many people as I can for 1 hour each day, the first 8 days of August. So for 8 days, 1 hour each day, to just listen to the Word of God. And our faith comes by hearing. Has recorded it in 937 languages, so you can dial up, you know, the language of your choice. And we'll have it in 2 30-minute segments or 1 60-minute segment. You can get it on your inbox. You can listen to it on your smartphone or your computer or on the radio. And so I just want people to listen to the Word of God. We're not going to have commentary. We're not going to have a preaching about it. It's just going to be the reading of the Word. And we'll do Genesis. We'll do the Book of Matthew. We'll do Acts. And we'll do the Book of Revelation, giving you a bird's-eye view of God's story. So just want as many people as are listening to me and listening to you to just come, and they can come to my website. They can find or they can just go to God Speaking. We have a website set up for just God Speaking. And godspeaking.com, godspeaking.org, either one, and sign up, and then they can get that in their inbox, just the portion of Scripture every day of those 8 days.
So the first 8 days of August, and all we need to do is get on your website, Angel Ministries, or...
Right, it's just Anne Graham Lotz. AnneGrahamLotz.org, or godspeaking.org.
Okay. And by signing up, then it comes to our inbox, and we simply are listening together.
Yeah.
I like the simple words of D.L. Moody. If the Word of God is how he speaks to us, prayer is how we speak to him. And it's just kind of this give and take, and we need both, don't we?
Yeah, you know, we do, yes.
And so we need to listen. Yeah. We need to listen as well as talk. And so we want to hear him speaking.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that struck me is in Genesis 1, when it says in verse 2 that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, and that was a preparation of the Spirit of God of planet Earth. So that would be the equivalent of prayer, where you pray and pre-prayer something, you know. And then every day, God's word went forth, and God said, let there be light. And every day when God said something, it came to pass. So God's word went forth every day. At the end of that 6 days, God looked at it, and he said it was very good, and he blessed it, and it reflected his image. It was the planet was transformed through the preparation of the Spirit, which is prayer, and the proclamation of God's word as it went forth every day. And so that's the beginning of time. Then at the center of time, when you come to the cross, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, the disciples went in that upstairs room, they prayed for 10 days, and then at Pentecost, Peter preached the word, and as a result, not just 3,000 people were saved, but the church was born. So once again, the world was transformed. And at the end of human history, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy, in light of his appearing, preach the word. And then Peter says that seeing that the end is near, be self-controlled so that you can pray. And so at the end of human history, my prayer is that once again, God would use just the power of his word being proclaimed and the power of prayer as we're on our knees combined to make a change in the world that's pleasing to God and that brings blessing to people. So, I believe there's a power to that combination, just the prayerful proclamation of his word. So that's what we want to see. And we've had, as you know, all sorts of prayer initiatives, getting people to pray. And now with my book, I'm just praying that as it goes out, people will pray. And then in August, just listen to the word of God and the combination. I just pray, who knows, but that once again, God could use it to bring about change in our nation and in our world.
Of course, there are a lot of books out there, and a million new titles show up on planet Earth, titles, not just numbers, published every year. Yeah. And so what makes this book special? How do we know God is speaking when we read from the Bible?
The Bible says it about itself, that it's God's word. Jesus said not one jot or tittle would pass away until all would be fulfilled. And jot or tittle is like a period or a comma or apostrophe, that all would be fulfilled. And, in the Old Testament it says that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And then John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And, of course, the Word became flesh. And so there's a written Word, which is Genesis to Revelation. And there's a living Word, who is Jesus Christ. And so the only thing I can say is read it. Mm. If you read your Bible and with an open heart and mind, God will speak to you through it. There are so many people whose lives have been radically changed just because they've read the Bible, and it quickens them. People even now, in closed countries, if they can get hold of a Bible or a New Testament, and they bear witness to the power of the Word of God that comes through the pages, and it radically transforms life because it is God's Word. It's a supernatural book, and I think the words of it, the nouns and pronouns and, all of that, there's a language and there's a, just the written word is magnificent, but there's more to it than that. And it was, according to Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so he has breathed his life into it, and there's a dimension of God's word that's supernatural. So for people who will listen to God's word in August, people even now listening to us, I would suggest that they pray before they read God's word and ask the Holy Spirit who inspired it to help them hear God speaking to them through it, that it would come to life, that they would understand it. And Bill, you and I know you'll never understand everything in the Bible, but you can understand enough that your life has changed. You can understand enough on which to build your faith.
Yeah, D.L. Moody would say it's like eating fish. When I read the Bible, I pick out the bones and eat the meat. But there are some countries that eat the bones too, and every single part of the Bible we're told is inspired. And I love Hebrews 4 that says it's living and active like a sharp two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And it gets right into our hearts. And, and as you said, so many lives have been changed. So I want to add my encouragement to the words you just spoke to all of our listeners. Tune in. Plan ahead for these segments the first 8 days of August.
Yeah.
And let's all take more serious the reading of Scripture. We find in surveys that those who say they're Christian all over the country are not reading Scripture, and very few have read it ever, even once cover to cover. less than 10%. Is it any wonder why the church has lost its influence in a culture? We've let go of our power source.
Yeah.
The Word of God leads us to God, to know God. Imagine if there were no Bible at all, and I'm just thinking out loud, we would have these morphed images of who God is, and we would all have different stories from different cultures. We'd never know. But because he's put it down in a book, black and white print, it's preserved.
Yeah.
People have given their lives to see this happen through the generations, and we take it for granted like it doesn't matter.
And it matters more than anything. And so we're, you know, in August, we'll just listen to it. It will be read. You can choose a dramatized version or non-dramatized version. And so you can just listen to it in two 30-minute segments or 1 hour, 60 minutes. But I think during my day, you can just get up a little earlier in the morning, stay up a little later at night, put it on, you know, when you're doing something else in the house or in your business, when you can just listen to the Word of God. And I think what you've said, there's so many people, we call ourselves Christians, maybe go to church, give lip service, but we don't know what we believe, why we believe, how we believe. Many of us are biblically illiterate, and I don't blame people for that. It's just we're so busy, and our culture is so not geared for time for the Word of God that we can, you know, just discard it and not even realize that's what we've done. So I just want to make this easy. I want to make it accessible, and it's just the reading of the Word. So you can just turn on your computer, turn on your smartphone, and put it on speakerphone and just listen to the Word of God being read. And or you can do it while you're, you know, exercising, while you're working out. Everybody puts on these little earbuds, you know, and you can plug it into your phone and just listen to the Word of God and see what he has to say. And I chose Genesis because it's the beginning of all things. We'll end with the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham when God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and through you I'm going to bless the nations of the world. And then go to Matthew that begins with Abraham and the genealogy of Jesus and takes us through the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and then when he comes back and says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then we're going to pick up Acts when the gospel went into all the world and the establishment of that early church. I think I pick up a couple of chapters in Colossians, and then we're going to go to Revelation, the book that promises a blessing to those who continuously read and study and take it to heart. And it tells the end of all things. It tells, I believe, what we're heading into right now, but it's thrilling because it shows Jesus in his glory and in his power and the way one day soon we're going to see him. So it's a thrilling, it's God's story. History is God's story. And so we're just going to try to, you know, do the whole scripture just from Genesis to Matthew to Acts to Revelation and give people sort of a bird's eye view of what the Bible is all about.
I love that. So we've got the centerpiece in Matthew, the life of the Savior. The whole Bible focuses on him. Then we see it played out in the history of the church. But then there are the bookends that we tend not to read much, Genesis and Revelation. And these two tie together, don't they? We've got the paradise at the beginning, paradise at the end. Talk a little about how these two tie together.
Well, I'm not sure that you can understand even the rest of the Bible if you don't know Genesis. And Genesis tells us that God created everything for the purpose of just the jewel of his creation was man. And I mean that in a generic sense, you know. And he placed his own spirit, his own image within man, meaning that not just that man walked on, you know, two legs or whatever you want to say, but had a capacity to know his creator in a personal relationship. That sets us apart from all the animals, you know. And then to see that paradise, as you've described it, was lost because man rebelled against God and disobeyed him, but that God, who so loved man, began even then to work out a plan of redemption. And so he worked with man for, you know, until the first 11 chapters of Genesis, giving man opportunity after opportunity to repent of sin that seemed to multiply with every generation until finally God dispersed them all over the world because they continued to rebel against him, defy him, and he reached down, he picked up one man, Abraham, and then he worked through Abraham and his family all the way through the Old Testament to provide a fleshly line for the Son of God, the Messiah, who would come and give his life to make atonement for the sin that had been building up since Genesis chapter 3. You know, and so when Jesus died on the cross, he was God's Lamb sacrificed for the sin of the world, past, present, and future. And in the past, they claimed it through the sacrificial system. At present, we claim it when we come by faith to the cross and confess our sin, tell Jesus we're sorry, and ask him to forgive us and believe that, you know, that he died for us. And then when you do that, you're born again into God's family, and that takes you through, you know, the experience in Acts and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the fact that Jesus now lives in me in the person of the Holy Spirit. And then one day, Jesus will come back. And what we lost in Genesis will be, it's not just restored, Bill, it's actually much more wonderful. And he comes back to reign and rule on this earth, and he will set up his millennial kingdom on this earth so that, in a sense, the entire planet will become like a Garden of Eden. And he will rule and reign here, and there'll be peace and justice and righteousness and love. And then, you know, the end of everything, it's all summed up in Jesus. So it's an incredible story. It's, you know, God has a plan, and he has a purpose. And sometimes when we think life is just unraveling, and I look at the world today, and I think it's falling apart, and I remember God's story, and I think, no, it's just falling into place right at the feet of Jesus.
Oh,
I
love that.
And I believe everything's being set up for his return, you know, and for his rule on this earth.
Instead of falling apart, it's falling into place.
That's right.
According to his plan. I love that. You know, this image is in my mind. We want everything fast and easy. We turn the spigot in our kitchen sink, water comes right out. But it used to be you'd be in a farm, and you'd have to prime your pump,
yes.
And pump
that's
it
right.
comes up. And I'm praying that what happens for all who are listening, that you'll join these 8 days in August. It will be like priming a pump. You'll get something built up in your heart when you experience the power of God's word, and you'll continue, having started with the first book and the last and some pieces in between, and you'll read the whole Bible, taken maybe a little bit at a time. When you get that pattern in your life and you're reading every day, it will change your life.
Yes.
And maybe talk to about a way you've seen the Bible change your life or someone you're close to, and I could do the same. I just want to encourage people to really see this as opportune time to become people of the Word.
Yes. You know, every morning, Bill, I get up. I'm not a morning person, so I have to get up really early. I do my stretches. I walk 2.5 miles. I get a triple espresso, you know, at the coffee shop, and that's when I have my quiet time with the Lord. And my quiet time consists of God's Word. I use a little volume called Daily Light that's just compilation of Scripture morning and evening. And I read it, and then if a verse seems to speak to me, leap up off the page, I talk to God about it, I look it up where it comes, you know, in context in Scripture, and so often God has given me counsel, he's answered my questions, he's encouraged me, he's comforted me, just through his word, like that, and I talk to him about it. So my prayer time is not just a one-sided conversation, it's like interaction with him, because as you said, I think you said Moody, said that, you know, he talks to us through his word, and we talk to him in prayer, and that's what our time apart with God should be like. And this morning, even, I felt like he had spoken to me through Isaiah, and at this moment, I'm not going to pull up that reference, but it's just where you feel like the road before you is long, and it's what I think Eugene Peterson has called a long obedience in the same direction, and sometimes life seems long, but then it just said that he would renew my strength. You know, and I've just taken on the chairmanship of the National Day of Prayer, so I'm following Shirley Dobson. I have my own ministry to run. I have this initiative coming up in August. I have a new book that's been launched, and so I'm doing promotion and such for that. And it's like, you know, the road is long, and yet he's promised that he would renew my strength. So if there are things like that. You know, it's not so much radical life change. It's just he speaks to you and encourages you so you can take the next step, you can live out the next day. And through it all, when you hear his voice like that, it develops that personal relationship with him that's really the core of my life. It's what's seen me through, you know, my husband has moved to heaven, and I've had, since then, my relationship with the Lord has been closer and sweeter and more personal, if that's possible. And it's because he's all that I have right now, you know, and so, but if I didn't have that relationship with him through his word, if I hadn't established that before my husband went to heaven, I would have a hard time because I would be scrambling to try to establish relationship with God, get to know him, and then deal with the crisis. As it was, when the crisis hit, I already had the relationship with God to fall back on. So for people, you know, that are listening, I just urge people, don't wait until a crisis hits. Don't wait until disaster strikes. establish a personal relationship with God right now through faith in Jesus Christ. And then every day you develop that relationship through prayer and Bible reading. And then what you read in your Bible, you apply to your life, you live it out. And as you live it out, you learn by experience that God is he's yours and you are his. And you discover that you just put legs to your faith and you're developing a relationship with him that gets stronger and stronger. And that relationship is what will carry you through those disasters.
You know, I came into relationship with Christ when I was about 7, and I remember after confessing my sins and asking him to be my Lord and Savior, I walked into my room as just a boy, found that Bible that was hidden under my mattress, opened it up, and it's like someone turned the light on. For the first time, God was speaking to me. And if you're listening and the book means nothing to you, do you have a relationship? And when you read, pray. You know, this morning for me, sometimes we think reading the Bible is all about how much I know, and we can say, oh, I've already read it. That won't help me anymore. No, it's who you know. This is God's word, and he will speak to you through it. And so this morning, to me, the most common passage, everyone knows Psalm 23, or they know about it, and just the first few verses of it spoke to me so powerfully. And that's the point. It's who you know. So, and in closing then, if you could give us a final word of encouragement, there are some listening who are kind of doubting, would it really help me to tune in August 1 to 8 and be part of this God speaking? I mean, how's God going to touch me? Just give us a final word.
Well, my final word would be, you're not going to know how God will touch you until you tune in. You need to tune in and listen. And I wouldn't just listen the first day. I would listen for the entire 8 days, 1 hour every day. What do you have to lose? The Bible is one of the premier pieces of literature in the whole world. And it's been vilified, and they try to remove it from our society, remove it from our libraries, remove it from our schools. Why? You know, it's because it's a very powerful book. And so I'm making it easy for you. I'm going to give you a bird's eye view of the entire book from beginning to end with, like you said, the centerpiece in the middle from the Gospels, so that they'll have everybody who listens will have a good grasp of the entire Bible, not all the books, and there'll be a lot of the history and prophecy and the Psalms and things like that left out, but enough so that you'll have a sense of what God is saying. And all I can say is just listen and see what you think. You know, and you can email me afterwards and tell me if you thought it was a waste of time, or tell me that you thought it was life-changing, or tell me just, I believe at the very least it's going to be life-enriching, life-enriching. And maybe, you know, faith strengthening also, because this is God's words. And I believe with all my heart he has put this burden on me to make this available. And so I believe he's wanting to call people not only to get on their knees and pray, but he's wanting people to open their ears and listen to what he has to say.
So let's all be in prayer for this initiative. Again, the first 8 days of August, you can go to the website, God Speaking, or just Ann Graham Lotz, Google her name, and find how you can sign up. But let's pray, as it's being translated into more than 900 languages, that it really touches people all over the world, the power of God to change lives. Ann Graham Lotz, thank you so much for being with us today, and our prayers are with you.
Thank you, Bill, so much. God bless you.
You too.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.